This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks so much for being with us. Every week we start with the managing editor of the Las Cruces Bulletin, Brooke Stockburger. Brooke, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Fred.
It's great to have you with us.
Happy weekend to you.
Happy weekend to you, too. I had a chance to check out the Bulletin. Of course, it's on lots of folks' doorsteps or hopefully already inside the house on this Saturday because usually they pick it up on Fridays or at newsstands on Fridays. And we start off this week in news with really what kept us very busy for the last couple of months here at KRWG, and that is the primary election. So now we have an eye toward November, since we know all the major races have been decided in the primary, and now we look ahead to the big one in November.
Exactly. Yeah, my write-in candidacy didn't get a single vote, so I guess I didn't even vote for myself. No, I didn't run for anything. But the big news coming out of the primary elections was Mary Helen Garcia, longtime representative of District, I think it's 34, in the southern part of the county, has played a big role in helping get economic development going down there and everything. And she lost a very, very, very close primary.
Yeah, I believe it was like 11 votes.
Yeah, to Bill Gomez of La Mesa. And so that'll be a change of pace going on.
Yeah, I think she was in for like 18 years.
Something like that. Yeah. I think, nine terms.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Mr. Gomez, he's a retired economist with New Mexico State University. So it'll be interesting. It'll be, you know, somebody fresh, a fresh voice. But she's somebody who obviously is in the know. So you lose a lot of her experience and her connections and all that sort of stuff. But that happens in elections. So, but I think that was a pretty big news. Another race that was real followed very closely here in our area was the county sheriff's race. And Enrique Kiki had did very, very well. He had a lot of signs up, as you know, and I think he had the most money is what's been reported.
And of course, he got the Democratic nomination for sheriff, so he has a general election battle ahead, right?
Sure does. There were two Republicans who were running for the Republican nomination as well, and Kiki Vigil. I guess I didn't say his last name, did I? But I think everybody knows who Kiki is now. He's very active in LULAC and stuff and had their support. So Craig Buckingham, who took the Republican nomination. So those two will square off for the county sheriff's office.
All right. That will be very big. And, of course, on the statewide scene, we hosted the statewide debate for the Democratic candidates for governor, five of them. And sort of as expected, if you looked at the polls anyway, the person who had the best name recognition ended up winning, and that's Attorney General Gary King. But talk about an interesting battle ahead as we go toward November in that race for governor, because if there ever was a David and Goliath story, this is it. I was just looking this week at the campaign finance reports, and Attorney General King has about $70,000 in the bank, and Governor Martinez has over $4 million. I believe it's $4.2 million. And the television ads have already begun,
which is, of
course, where a lot of the influence comes in terms of voting nowadays, unfortunately, but that's just the reality. Television and radio ads, newspaper ads, direct mailing, and she has an enormous amount of money to do that.
Yeah, she has a national reach. I mean, Dick Cheney's going to come to town and you know, raise money for her here at some point. And so she, you know, really brings in money and has a huge advantage over Gary King. And I thought it was kind of interesting that that he actually won, too, because his candidacy for all the name recognition sort of got off to a slow start. Mm-hmm. And you had people like Alan Weber coming on real fast and hard and everything who finished second. But King did pull it out. And, you know, his dad was a governor, and we'll see how much that plays a role.
Yeah, we hope to have him in the studio soon to do an interview. The next time he is in Las Cruces, so we'll certainly have on this program excerpts from that if it happens, and I hope it does very soon. Well, moving ahead in news this week, the other big news, and it continues to be big news, triple-digit weather, record-breaking heat. And it's just going to continue. We're going to be the only relief is that we'll be in the high 90s, it looks like. So we're still going to be close to triple-digit heat. And you have a story in the bulletin this week on a move for heat relief for the homeless, I see.
Yeah, Todd Dixon wrote about it. He went over to the Community of Hope, Las Cruces Community of Hope, and that's where Camp Hope is, where homeless people can camp out and have a place to stay, in tents and everything. But as you can imagine, 107-degree heat or even 97-degree heat, being in a tent is not the most comfortable situation. So they're working to try to get some donations and improve the situation over there. Right now they're even looking for, if you want to donate sunscreen, if you want to donate foot powder, things like that, that they can hand out to people, you know, that would be great. And they're also looking to build, they're building, or they have built some platforms over there, with sort of like little walls around them and some crushed gravel down that the tents can sit on, to make that a little bit of a more tenable situation there. But anything people can do to help out with those people, because it's just brutal being out there in the heat, just going from your car to an air-conditioned building. Imagine having to live in that all the time. And some of the people who have, maybe they don't have a lot of summer clothes either. So.
Yeah. And well, it's great the Bulletin did that story to raise awareness about this, because it's a very important issue. And so they do accept donations right there.
Definitely, they definitely
okay.
do.
So. Very good information. Well, another big story that we've been covering over the last couple of months has been the minimum wage. And there are two aspects to this. This past week, the city council taking action. But the petitions continue to be collected, I see here, for a different proposal.
Yeah, the Miguel Silva's compromise, as it were, idea to raise minimum wage to $8.50 by 2016, I think it is.
It is.
And then tie it to cost of living raises thereafter, at some point, was passed by the council. So, you know, that's ready to take effect. But, of course, groups like CAFE and some others are really pushing for it to jump to 10, I think it is,
by
2017.
Yes.
And they wanted to go to the ballot unless the council votes on it themselves and accepts it. But it'll probably end up going to the ballot.
It certainly looks that way.
Yeah. So
if they get the petition signature.
That's right. And they claim they're really on their, they really have a lot of momentum with that to get enough. And, you know, they got the signatures last time, but the wording, the city attorney, you know, thought, well, the wording was wrong, so they declined it. And now they've reworded it and they're coming back at it. So we could be seeing in November the vote on whether to raise the minimum wage even more in our area.
Yeah, that's going to be so fascinating to see what happens with that. And we probably will be seeing a lot of campaign advertising, both for and against that.
I would imagine,
assuming that it gets on the ballot and those petitions are collected. Well, speaking of business, and this is our next section in the bulletin to cover, you have a story here on a major challenge for business, getting venture capital.
Yeah, very interesting. I've looked at this situation before in the past, too. This is not necessarily a real easy area to find venture capital in. We have venture capital in the state, most of it located up north in the Albuquerque area, that sort of thing. You know, we have places like Arrowhead where people can go and, you know, have an incubator type of thing for their business and get help and that sort of stuff. But actual venture capital, you know, there's some help available in our area. There's some help available in El Paso and, of course, up north in northern New Mexico. And it all depends. Some people need just $5,000. They call those, you know, just little angel investors, people who are willing to do that. And then some people need millions. And they get the big venture capitalists to help with that, and they can go national looking for that. But the in between, the 10,000, the 200,000, the folks who are sort of in between, have a little more tough time, I guess, finding that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, Elta talks about some of the resources available and where to look and what people think the future holds in that area. So it's an interesting story.
I'll have to look for that in the bulletin this week. It's going to be fascinating too, Brooke, to see if the online venture capitalists continue to have the momentum that they have had over the last couple of years
with
things like Kickstarter. And you see all kinds of different projects, everything from what might be called charitable endeavors to making a film or a television pilot, raising thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars online.
Yeah. What do they call it? Virtual venture?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
No, but people really are. The internet's out there and it's a resource, so why not use it? So, and it'll be interesting to see as our area, obviously with the national labs up north, you know, we're known as having some tech area, and MSU has a decent reputation. So it'll be interesting to see if, as the world becomes smaller because of technology, if local Las Cruces can find more access to sort of investing in money.
Absolutely. Well, another part of your business coverage this week comes from a section in the paper that is in there every once in a while from the Greater Las Cruces Chamber of Commerce, the bottom line, which is their insert that they put into the bulletin from time to time. What is it, once a month?
Once a month.
And I see on the cover this week something that folks may be interested in. They have a preview of their July update luncheon, which is going to focus on the state of health care. And of course, with the Affordable Care Act, this is a huge issue for local businesses, something that folks are going to want to know about. And Brooke, just, you know, really from a standpoint of not just businesses, but individuals, this is something that we're all certainly very concerned about. You know, inflation in the best of times is in the neighborhood of around 2%. And that's what it's been over the last number of years in that neighborhood. That has been, as you know, incredibly important because folks haven't been getting raises.
Right.
So we're not even keeping up with inflation, many folks. But yet, healthcare has not followed this pattern, and it continues to be an issue that it's exceeding the overall inflation rate of anywhere between 1.5-2% in that range. As an example, state employees, which last year had a 15% increase in health insurance premiums, starting in July. July 1, it is another 10% increase in health insurance premiums. This is serious business.
Yeah, it sure is. And you're right. We constantly feel like we're sprinting to try to keep up with it, trying to catch it. And it's just, you never can catch it. You never can, you know, equal, like you said, it's going faster than inflation in some areas. And that's a very important issue. And it's a very important issue for, you know, business owners, of course, who are supplying insurance for their employees. Now they don't have to under Obamacare just yet. That's been delayed, but you know, a lot of them do that anyway or figure it's coming. So the chamber is really trying to work hard to sort of educate people and point them towards resources and help.
Absolutely. So it's going to be fascinating to see again a preview of that in the bulletin in the bottom line section, and then maybe going to the luncheon as well in July to kind of see what the latest is on that. Well, moving to the life section this week, a review from Zach Hansen of the latest movie from Sean McFarlane. And a lot of folks are familiar with that name because they love his animated series Family Guy. He is also known in his own right now because, of course, I believe it was 2 years ago he hosted the Oscars, and a lot of people didn't like his hosting of the Oscars, but I liked it. I thought he was entertaining.
I thought he was funny.
He
did a good job.
I don't know.
He poked a lot of fun at Hollywood, and maybe there's a little sensitivity there.
But. I don't know. I liked him. I thought he was great, you know, and sometimes I think his humor is a little over the top, but I thought in the Oscars, I thought he was fun. But Zach's got a mixed review on the movie. He doesn't like the movie that much, which, by the way, is called, I forget.
A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Okay. Long title. That's always an issue with a movie.
He says it's funny. It's not that it's not funny, but it's the writing is kind of very simplistic, which I guess what do you expect from something like that? He gave it a C-, and his headline is How the West Was Dumb. So it's a lot of dumb humor, and there's some big names in it, Sarah Silverman, and obviously Seth MacFarlane himself is the lead character, and Charlize Theron.
Yeah, a dramatic actress. We haven't seen Charlize Theron in a comedy like this. Not a zany comedy, anyway, so... I'm curious about it. I won't go to see it at the movies, but I'll probably rent it when it comes out.
Yeah, check it out when it comes out. But he says it's a little too long and the writing's thin, and it has some chuckles. It's not without a few chuckles here and there. But so people can make up their own mind, I guess, and go see it.
All right. Well, in the West, it can be zany at times too. At the annual event, everyone looks forward to a week from today. It's on Flag Day this year, June 14th. That is Raft the Rio.
Yes, we have water in the Rio.
Yeah.
So that's why we get it in right when we have the chance. Yay, water in the Rio. So, yeah, Saturday, June 14th, obviously, and people will be building rafts around town, some very intriguing-looking ones, as you know, and different kinds, and people go out there and compete in the different, you know, areas of competition. It's a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun. If you've never seen it, it's fun to go out and watch these people float down the Rio Grande in their homemade rafts and see who makes it, who's fast, who sinks, all that sort of stuff.
Some of them are pretty creative.
Yeah, they sure are.
Pretty neat. So we'll look for that next Saturday. And in the bulletin, you can read all about it. There's extensive information about Raft the Rio, a great article in the arts and entertainment section in the bulletin. And there's also a look ahead to something that's happening tomorrow. So you definitely, if you don't have your bulletin, you want to pick it up at the newsstand to read about an event tomorrow, an open free presentation on the hidden Jews of New Mexico. And interesting, I wasn't aware, this woman apparently who's presenting actually had an NPR radio show on this topic.
Yeah, this is a topic she's worked on for decades, it sounds like. And her name is Nan Rubin, and this will be at 2 p.m. at Temple Beth-El, which is on Sonoma Springs Avenue. And she's currently working with the Southwest Environmental Center to do some community radio stuff and get some more stuff going. But her radio series was The Hidden Jews of New Mexico, and it was first heard on NPR back years ago, and she talked about present-day descendants of New Mexico's colonial settlers and things like that. So she hopes to, she's going to give that presentation tomorrow, and if anybody likes history like I do, that sounds really fascinating.
Okay, so it's tomorrow, Sunday, at Temple Beth-El, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
All right, we'll look for it, and we'll look for you again next week. Brooke Stockberger, he is the managing editor of the Las Cruces Bulletin. Brooke, thanks for